The Virginia Education Association sponsors Virginia Public Radio, on the air and online.
Elizabeth Pryor wasn't planning to write about the nation's 16th president, but she had just won the Lincoln Prize, $50,000, for her book on Robert E. Lee. And while researching the roles of women and Native Americans in the Civil War, she came across an unpublished drawing of Lincoln. Her sister, Beverly Brown, says Elizabeth was excited by the image.
He had big, long, gangly legs, and he was sitting there with his legs raised up above his ears. And other people talk about Lincoln sitting in that position, like a cricket on the front porch of the White House.
Pryor's research unearthed other little-known details of Lincoln's life, from which she crafted Six Encounters with Lincoln, A President Confronts Democracy and Its Demons. Brown says her sister recast the man who is remembered as something of a saint.
His halo has become very, very polished because of his assassination, but in his own time, some of these decisions that he made were not seen positively as we see them today, and that's what she really talks about.
Lincoln could, for example, be indecisive. He spoke disparagingly of African Americans, never contemplated full citizenship for Native Americans, and could not relate to powerful women.
One of the most interesting myths that you hear all the time is about Harriet Beecher Stowe meeting Lincoln and Lincoln saying to her, "Oh, you're the little lady who brought about this big war." The story was written down by her brother as he tried to sort of aggrandize her. But according to Harriet Beecher Stowe herself and other people who were there, didn't happen. He didn't even ask her to sit down. He was, in fact, really rude to her.
And Elizabeth Pryor documents just how uncomfortable Lincoln could be with people. In his own time, she found prominent citizens who considered him vulgar and despotic.
She never doubts for a moment that he was really bright. But it's often very hard for a very bright child to fit in socially. And so he would tell stories and tell jokes. He also sort of was a bully and liked to beat people up because he apparently was physically very, very strong.
Lincoln often claimed the moral high ground and spoke of democratic ideals, but his actions were sometimes more about politics and compromise. Brown says Pryor knew her book would be controversial.
She used to say, you know, when this book is published, I'm going to go into exile.
She feared Elizabeth would end up on her couch in London, but that didn't happen. Instead, Beverly got shocking news early one morning in April of 2015. Her sister had been killed in a car crash, leaving Brown to put finishing touches on the book. As an art historian, it was a fitting role for her, finding photos, etchings, and drawings to illustrate a fresh new look at Lincoln. One of those depicts an astonishing story never before told. It happened in front of the White House, in a tent around a flagpole. As a military band played, Mr. Lincoln was called to raise the flag.
The war is starting, and he goes out to raise the flag. And you can tell from the picture that the teeny little hole at the top of the tent is never going to be big enough to get the flag through. It ripped the stars and the stripes apart as it went up through the hole. Of course, each star is a state, and what could be worse when states are rapidly leaving that the president rips the flag apart? I mean, it would have been such an incredible symbolic thing, and the newspapers didn't report it.
But several invited guests recalled the fiasco in their diaries. Today, the New York Times calls Six Encounters with Lincoln a fascinating read that confronts us with startlingly relevant questions. Beverly Brown agrees.
The book really is about democracy and its demons, demons that unfortunately are still there today. And she was, you know, obviously very, very aware of that, that the check and balance system that we hope works was put in place by founding fathers who wanted to slow things down. They didn't want the executive branch to tweet, should we say.
Pryor had no children, no nieces, nephews, aunts, or uncles. She willed half of her estate to the Library of Congress and the other half to the Virginia Historical Society.
She did. Not to her loving sister who finished her book for her.
But Elizabeth left all of her furnishings, a house full of books and art, to Beverly, who is now buying the place from the Historical Society so she can keep her sister's treasures in the city she loved. I'm Sandy Houseman.